I wonder how most Americans spent their July 4th Independence Day celebration. Was it in celebration of freedom of the greatest nation of the world, these United States? Was it celebrating and thinking about the independence that we have from oppression and tyranny in the world? Was even a moment's thought given to the freedom that we have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ? Stay tuned for a very special After the 4th of July Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly at 313 South Jefferson Street, right in downtown Dayton, just south of the Convention Center, across from the Singular Wireless store. We meet in the AFL-CWA Union Hall building every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for the teaching, every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for a preaching service, again on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. And Bible study, we just wrapped up our verse-by-verse study of 2 Timothy, and this coming Wednesday starts a new opportunity for you to show up and hear the book of Titus exposited verse-by-verse. Now, those studies are also archived on our website, www.wonderfulgrace.org. You are able to access hours and hours, well over 150 hours of teaching, preaching, and all the things that are on the website. Log on today and check out that website. You're also able to attend the services of the Master Builder Grace Assembly via the internet. There's instruction on the audio page for how to do that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So stay tuned, and we're going to have a special 4th of July radio broadcast for you today. As I look at the document that gives our great nation its basic fundamental truths, the Declaration of Independence, penned on the 4th of July in 1776. I wonder how many of us have actually taken the time to read that document, to see what it contains, and see how we are faring as far as the preservation of our rights today. Let me take a moment to read the beginning preamble of the document, and then I'm going to read some of the specific rights that have been given to us as citizens of the United States. But rather than the King of England, I'm going to apply it to our United States government. See if you don't agree that we have ways to go. We have some work to do in the preservation of our rights. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness, prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient suffering of those colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present United States government is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of the absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. The United States government has refused his assent to laws, and most wholesome and necessary for the public good. The United States government has forbidden the governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till the United States government assent should be attained, and when so suspended, the United States has utterly neglected to attend to them. The United States government has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish their right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. The United States government has made judges dependent on its will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. The United States government has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. The United States government has kept among us, in times of peace, standing armies without our consent in our legislatures. The United States government has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. The United States government has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving its assent to their acts of pretended legislation. The United States government, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us, in many cases, of the benefit of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our government. Now, you may think as I've read this that I've gone off the deep end, and I certainly don't advocate the overthrow of our government, but it is a citizen's responsibility to watch what the government is doing, to always be wary and always be aware of the usurpation of our rights as free and just people. The separation of church and state was never a constitutional amendment. It was never put in the Declaration of Independence, but rather has been derived from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Association in 1802. It was never meant to separate the church from the state, but rather that the legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Isn't it interesting, then, that we have so many laws today presented by groups such as the ACLU and others who are anti-religious in their orientation, banning things such as prayer in schools, also banning in our very armed forces in the Navy and the Air Force. No prayer is allowed to now be said in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayers that have forever and for long time opened in Congress, no Jesus Christ. In the prayer opening the new session of Congress, are you aware that it's going to be given by a Buddhist priest? This is not what the founding fathers had in mind when they founded this United States. In 1861, on July 4th, the Senate was opened with the following prayer by the Reverend Bryan Sutherland, Almighty and Everlasting God. Be not angry with us for our sins, which we only confess and deplore, but pardon our offenses and extend to us thy favor. We thank thee for thy goodness on this anniversary of the nation, a day tenfold more precious by reason of our present troubles, and sacred to the heart for the ever memorial declaration of our fathers, in which thou didst begin more openly to give us a name among the nations of the earth. We thank thee for all thy manifold and abundant mercies hitherto to make our nation exceedingly great and glorious. But now disasters have befallen us, and darkness broods in the land. And now we ask thy mercy, as the Senate is convening at a time most momentous crisis of our history. Give to thy servants all needed help. Add to their deliberations wisdom and unanimity, and profit and speed to their conclusion. Bless thy servant, the President of the United States, our veteran Commander-in-Chief, and all that we have functions in the civil and military power. May the angel of thy presence walk in the cabinet and in the Congress and in the camp, go before to purify and to direct the now greatly and universally awakened love of country. And we beseech thee to guide us, to overrule and order all things, and so to cause that nothing shall fail, that the disorders of the land may be speedily healed, that peace and concord may prevail, that truth and righteousness may be established, and that thy church and kingdom may flourish in a larger peace and prosperity, for thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. That prayer today would never be allowed in Congress, would it? That prayer today would be banned from the halls of our most cherished institutions of government. No more prayer in schools, no more prayer in the military, no more prayer naming the name of Jesus Christ. It's okay to name the name of God, you know that for a fact, but what God are we talking about? The separation of church and state. Hitler said, if a lie is repeated often enough and long enough, it would come to be perceived as truth. Such is that separation that has been put between the government of the United States and the worship of God the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, in fact, become mostly a godless society, not depending on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, but rather doing good works, doing nice things for others. God will, in fact, pat you on the back and smile at you when it comes time to go to heaven, won't he? The Bible says quite differently. The Bible has something else to say. The Bible says that the Buddhist monk is not the way to the Father, it's not the way to the heaven, but rather John 14:6, Jesus said that I am the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, people are willing to name the name of God, and that is unoffensive to most, is it not? But when you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, the Lord Jesus who died for the sins of all humanity, the Lord Jesus who died for you and me to take away all our sins, then it becomes personal. Then it becomes quite offensive to those who would rather just name the name of the ambiguous God. We, as Christians, we as the body of Christ, need not only to watch and be wary of the governments of men, understanding that governments are here to serve the people rather than the people serving the government. But that doesn't seem to be the way that things are going today. And little by little, our power of governance is being eroded. Little by little, each one of our rights is being taken away. Little by little, each one of our freedoms to express our own beliefs in our own ways is in fact going away. Of course you know, I have specific and strong beliefs that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the forgiveness of all our sins. Nothing else to be added to that. Only faith in His payment is what's required for a soul to be saved. But the attack on religion, the attack on belief systems, the attack on free speech, not being able to say what we really mean, not being able to say what should be said, but rather having to convey a message in shaded and jaded terms, masking the reality that we're not really as free to say what we think as we think we are. I can sit here and talk to this microphone, talk to you, and tell you that a soul that is not saved, that has not fully trusted in the payment made by the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, is going to spend an eternity in hell. And yet, the fact of the matter is, I don't have that same freedom in all the endeavors that I do. You see, when I place an ad in the newspaper, as I do every Saturday, you can find it for yourself. Right there in the Dayton Daily News on the faith page. Something pithy, something to catch your eye, something to get you to trust Christ for your soul's salvation, but yet I'm not allowed to put the word hell into the ad because it might offend the delicate sensibilities of other Christian readers. You see that political correctness, the lack of free speech, the lack of watching for the Galatians 2:4, the false brethren that unawares brought in, they came too privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And being unawares, being asleep at the wheel, the church, the body of Christ, has allowed many of these things to happen, had our right to free speech, had our right to say what needs to be said, taken away from us little by little. No, our ability to say what we want to say has not been taken away in large chunks, but rather chipped away at over time. Just try sending your child to school with a Bible. Try sending your child and telling him to pray in the lunchroom over his meal before he eats and see what happens. Try introducing a prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ into the congressional opening and see what happens. My question would be, where is the outrage? Where are those who would stand up for the freedoms of this country? Where are the legislators that we have elected who would vocalize their opinion and stand up and say, this is wrong. The nation was founded upon Christian principles. And where are the principles today? They seem to be evaporating under an onslaught of Muslim extremism that seeks to overtake the world, and yet we're told to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage which would be put on us by oppressive governments, the yoke of bondage which would be put on us by those who disagree with our opinions, seeking not to give us equal opinion, not to seek to give us equal time in the arena of ideas, but rather to silence our opinions, silence our beliefs, thinking that this is equal justice. The fairness doctrine, which has already been enacted but not yet put into practice, is a doctrine that says that equal time must be given to all opinions, and if one opinion is not being given equal time by means of the unpopularity of the message, then the rest of the messages that are out there that people want to hear must go away until it equals that of the unpopular opinion. You see, the fairness doctrine will lead to the destruction of Christian television, will lead to the destruction of Christian radio, will lead to the destruction of preaching and teaching of God's Word, even in the church house, because of the lack of mosque, because of the lack of Hindu temples, because of the lack of other religions that don't share equal acceptance among the people of this United States. We have, in fact, been asleep at the wheel. We have let things that should never occur to happen right under our eyes. It's time that we get up off the couches, turn off American Idol, and get involved. Find out what's going on in your government, and find out what's going on in your church. Find out what rights you have lost and what rights you still have left, and engage yourself in the preservation of the freedoms that we have, standing fast in the liberty which our Constitution, which the Declaration of Independence has given us as citizens of these United States. Meanwhile, the fight goes on, and we are to 2 Timothy 2:3 endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yes, the days will come when the hardness will increase, and those who have vocal opposition against the message of Christianity, against the message of freedom in Christ, will win the day because of the apathy of those who have been set free, because of the apathy and non-caring attitudes of the body of Christ. You see, now, not later, is the time that Ephesians 6:13, you need to take unto yourself the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Because the freedoms that we enjoy in this great country were not a free gift of anyone. They were not given to the people of this United States by any outside power, but rather were hard-earned in blood and fight, hard-earned in toil and sweat, quite different than the free gift of salvation. Romans 5:15 tells us that not as the offense, but also is the free gift. For if through the offense one many be dead, much more by the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. You need to understand that it's not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. You see, Christ died for the sins of all. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. And the answer to the problem of tyranny, the answer to the problem of oppression of government, is in fact trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. I have an article. It was from Al Jazeera Media Network, a Muslim network that cites the demise of Islamic religion in Africa. Every day, thousands of Muslim intellectuals are leaving Islam. They find Islam inconsistent with science, logics, human rights, and ethics. Millions of Iranians already have left Islam. The enlightened Muslims of other nationalities are not far behind. It is the beginning of a mass exodus from Islam. It is a movement that is already in motion, and nothing can stop it. However, the exodus from Islam is not reserved to the intellectuals, but also the average Muslims are finding that Islam is not the way to God, but to ignorance, poverty, and wars. They're leaving Islam to embrace other religions, especially Christianity. Perhaps it is best to listen to the truth coming from the mouth of the horse. The internet site AlJazeera.net published an interview with Ahmad Al-Qahtani, an important Islamic cleric who said, and I quote, "In every hour, 667 Muslims convert to Christianity. Every day, 16,000 Muslims convert to Christianity. Every year, 6 million Muslims convert to Christianity. These are Muslims who are finding that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, and that the only way to come to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ." I'm going to leave you today with something that you will not hear from our president. You will not hear from George Bush because of the fact that you cannot name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayers are almost forbidden by government officials. I want to leave you with a prayer said so many years ago by Franklin Delano Roosevelt on the very day that Normandy was invaded. My name, Mark Mumaw. This is the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment the troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this point and hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, the struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again. And we know that by thy grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. They will be sore tried by night and by day, without rest, until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer. As we rise to each new day, and again when each day is spent, let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength, too. Strengthen our daily tasks to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to wait out the long of travel, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage unto our sons, wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dull. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters of but fleeting moment, let not these deter us in our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogances. Lead us to the saving of our country, and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just reward of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
Once again, my name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly. The website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, and thank you for listening.